Welcome. This is Erev Shabbos, Parshas Vayishlach, 5769. And this year, we are continuing along the path of the just in a systematic way. We're following the Sefer in order this time at 40 days at a shot. That means that of the 11 virtues that the path of the just follows, we are focusing on a virtue at a time for 40 days, straight. Today is day number. Can we pass you something?
Excuse the interruption. Okay. I thought Arthur had poured this one.
What would you like?
Harold, excuse me. I'm fine.
Okay.
Excuse me.
I have a little of this.
No, I'm fine. Thank you.
So today is day 23 during the virtue of alacrity, zrizus. And I think that by now we're getting used to those terms. First came Torah, which is the virtue of studying Torah in a regular regimen. And then that leads to the virtue of zehirus, which is vigilance, the skill of stopping from one's habitual course and taking time to think about his path. And that leads to zirizus, which is zeal or alacrity, the next step, which is to overcome the human inertia and, as we will see, human fears, to be able to conquer the positive duties required by the Torah. And what I would like today to do is really focus on zrizus. In the last few days before, we have a few weeks, maybe a week and a half to go, but to really focus on the challenge of zrizus. Because I think as we get further along in the path, it becomes more challenging. And we can always approach something from the halachic standpoint. You know, we can say, well, we've got these duties and obligations, we've got the negative commandments, so we must employ zehirus in order to properly adhere to those, and we also have the positive commandments, and we have to employ zrizus in order to fulfill those. Sure, this is what we've got to do, but as we've established before, there's the Torah that Hashem gives us, but there's also the Torah of us. And we're not programmed as robots to just do everything that it says, just because it says it. We have to overcome whatever obstacles we as human beings have. I mean, I don't think there's anyone who is the least bit honest that will deny that we struggle with human lethargy, with laziness, and with fear, which Rabbi Luzzatto says. He writes explicitly in chapter 7. Chapter 9, these are the two foremost obstacles to zrizus. Why don't we do all that we're supposed to do? Because we have a desire, I'm reading on page 48, we have a desire for physical ease, detestation of exertion, and the unlimited pursuit of pleasure. That's what we like. We like to relax, take it easy, and enjoy ourselves. And our society tells us that that's really the mitzvah. You're not relaxing? What's wrong with you? You haven't acquired the latest game? What's going on? You haven't traveled? You know, we live in a society which says it's a mitzvah to relax, to enjoy. But this is really an obstacle to zrizus. So who would not, anybody that understands this a little bit, who would not admit to that? Who would also not admit that a very big obstacle to Zrizus is fear? I'm going to read to you something that will make you laugh. But we're laughing, but we're also laughing at ourselves. It says in the Midrash, page 51, the sages of blessed memory aptly explained the idea, demonstrating how effective baseless fear can be in deterring one from doing a good deed. They said, Shlomo, King Solomon, said 7 things about an indolent person. Indolent is the lazy man. As follows. People would say to the indolent person, your teacher is in town. Go and learn Torah from him. And he would respond to them, I'm afraid of the lion on the road. Okay, the highway. If I go on the highway, I'll be attacked by a lion. Now, maybe some of these particulars are slightly outdated. But that would have been a real fear that somebody would have in the days, you know, when traveling out of the city was truly hazardous. If they said to him, but your teacher is in the community, he's in town, you don't have to take the highway, he would say, I'm afraid there might be a lion in the streets, so I cannot go. When they would say to him, he's within your house, he's speaking in your building, he would say, if I go to him, I will find the door locked, so I can't go.
What door locked?
The door to the lecture hall. They would say to him, it's open. When he no longer knew what to answer, so he realizes that those fears are unfounded, he would say to them, it doesn't matter whether the door is unlocked or locked. I would like to sleep a little more. It's called excuses. We are full of excuses. If we can make an excuse of fear, that's a little bit more respectable. And when the excuses of fear run out, then we will turn to the excuse of laziness. Too tired. We see from here that it is not fear that leads one to indolence. Rather, it is indolence that causes one to fear. Very psychological. Rabbi Luzzatto is definitely aware of the human issue, of the Toras Adam, of the fact that in order to be a Zariz, to be a zealous Jew, one has to overcome human nature. And we don't deny that. The problem is, what do we do about it? I admit it. I admit that I have excuses. I admit that I have my fears. Some of them may be founded, well-founded. Some of them may not. But I do have them. And I will admit, I'm lazy. How do I get out of it? That's what I'd like to attack today. We're really doing a human nature analysis over here. We're doing a psychoanalysis. It appears to me that what ties it all together, what our real human struggle is, that we're not comfortable with anything that we don't know and see and are familiar with. I would like to venture to say that that's kind of like the common denominator of all. We're comfortable with that which we know. We're not comfortable with that which we don't know. For example, you tell me that I have this extremely elevated soul inside. that is capable of connecting with God in a tremendous, tremendous way. And it's within me, and it's within my potential, and it's within my reach. Okay, but you're asking me to believe something that I don't see. I see me as I am now. I know me as I am now. You want me to believe that there's something more? That's hard for me to do. In order for me to overcome challenges, so you tell me, Rabbi Luzzatto tells me, that you have to trust in Hashem. You have to trust in Him. Thank you. You're telling me once again to do something that I don't see, to rely on something that I don't see. I'm not so comfortable with that. It's unknown. You want me to leap. That's what this has in common. I have to believe in Hashem, and I have to believe in myself. But I'm believing in something which is potentially there. I don't deny it, but it's still not my comfort zone. A human being is very comfortable in his comfort zone. So we spend our lives taking care of logistics. Shuffling this, shuffling that, you know, making this arrangement, this appointment, this meeting. We do things, we're busy doing things that we are familiar with, things that are within our current workspace, and that's something that we're comfortable with, and so we tend to stay there. Zrizus requires me to break out of the familiar. It's almost, I hate to say it, but it's almost like Esav. And we are going to get to the Parsha somehow today. Vayishlach, the encounter of Yaakov and Esav. But this is reminiscent. This human limitation is reminiscent of Esav. Way back in when they were young, Parsha's told us. Vayozed Yaakov Nazid in chapter 25, verse 29. Vayozed Yaakov Nazid. Jacob simmered a stew, and Esav came in from the field, and he was exhausted. Esav said to Yaakov, "Pour into me now some of that very red stuff, for I'm exhausted." That's why he was called Edom, which comes from the word red. Jacob said, "Sell as this day your birthright to me." You know, Esav, you are in possession of a very, very important heritage. You are right now you are the firstborn. You are slated to be the next patriarch. How badly do you want your red stuff? Are you willing to trade your future, your spiritual heritage, your eternity for it? And Esav said, "Look, I'm going to die. So of what use to me is a birthright?" I translate that as to say, hey, I've got things to do now. What good is it for me to start pursuing something that is beyond my current context? You want me to worry about something spiritual, developing myself? You want me to worry about reaching a higher plane, a higher plateau? I've got things to do right now. I'm busy. I'm busy in my current, my present. I'm busy in my current state. I don't have time for things that are something imaginary out there. I'm too busy. That to me is our human struggle. And so here we are faced. We're looking at the pages of the Sefer, and the Sefer says, go further, Zrizus. Lift yourself up. Listen to your neshama, listen to your soul. Go beyond the confines of your current situation. So we look at that, and then we say, Ah. I can't do it. You know, I also, I'm thinking that this dilemma of the that which I can see and touch versus that which is transcendent, I think also has its roots in the Hanukkah struggle. We're getting to be, it's going to be Hanukkah soon. You know, there was a clash. It wasn't just a battle on the battlefield, but there was a clash of cultures. This is at the root of the Hanukkah message. There was a clash of cultures between Israel and Greece. Israel was the people of God, the people of the Spirit, the people of the transcendent, and then there was Yavan, who were the people of the body and mind. Their overall philosophy was, if you don't see it, if you can't touch it, if you can't understand it with your rational mind, then it ain't true. That was the Greek philosophy. The Greek philosophy is, there's a lot of wisdom, there's a lot of beauty, and there's much to be discovered and studied, but it all has to do with that which we can see and touch and understand. But there is nothing spiritual. There is nothing transcendent. We will develop the body. We will develop art and music and science. We will probe the depths of the human mind. But tell me that there is a God. Tell me that there is a realm within the human being that goes beyond the rational? No way. That was the clash. That was the clash between Yavan and Yisrael. And we are living in a world that has been influenced by the Greeks. You tell me then, in such a world, that I should do a mitzvah which has no rational explanation. You tell me to develop my soul, which I cannot see. You tell me to trust in a God that I cannot see. And it flies in the face of the philosophy that Greece has embedded in our world. And then you tell me to have Zrizus. It's incongruous. What I'd like to do then, for the remainder of the class, is discuss how we are to win this battle, to forge ahead on this path, which requires Zrizus, which requires going beyond. And we will take a look at four different possible approaches, highest to lowest, and hopefully we will be inspired to try to grasp one of these approaches and strengthen ourselves in this very difficult battle. Let me stop for a moment to see if there's any comments. Because I hope that I'm making a little sense here. Steve,
I disagree on what you said about Esau's reason for the red stuff. That it says in the Midrash that he killed Nimrod and stole his hunting coat, which is the one that Jacob wore when he got the blessing. That coat, and that so he was going to being hunted to kill, so he was in fear of his life, and that's what he meant by he's not going to be living long.
Okay. All right, that's another interpretation. It's okay. You don't have to disagree with me. You could just say there's other interpretations. Okay. Anyone else? Questions, comments?
But I mean, this doesn't sound terribly new to me. Resistance and these other things. I mean, they all seem to be forms of the evil inclination within us, and we know the antidote. It's almost like we're working really hard to make things sort of rather more complicated than they need to be on some level, bringing in psychology and all of this stuff, that we know that the antidote to the evil, to these tendencies, is to have God's presence with us through Torah. I mean, isn't it quite that simple?
Perhaps understanding it at an intellectual level is, I don't wouldn't call it simple, but it's doable, and anyone who's been studying for a while will. But bringing it to the realm of implementation, which Jesus is, I don't think it's so simple. I don't think it's so easy to change. I don't think that people like change or change so readily.
But it's not a necessary condition to be either close to God or to do the mitzvot. I mean, you don't have to have zrizus necessarily, or do you, to be, let's say, righteous in the eyes of God?
Well, the supposition is that we have to embrace and accept and ultimately perform the mitzvahs in order to accomplish the goal. And it takes, the Sefer is telling us that it takes a training and it takes a conditioning in order to do that. And that is the supposition. And it's true, a very important part of Judaism is studying about it, but it's the studying that brings, that leads to deed. So, no, it is. It is, I mean, when you're on the path, it's a lot better than when you're just, you know, looking in. But it is a challenge. It is a struggle.
It seems to me that maybe you're right on the level that these things seem to be self-evident, but I think, at least in my experience, there's a whole lot of stuff that can get in the way, and this is kind of like how to get past all this. This is the stuff that's going to try and get in your way, and this is the way around it. That would be my guess. And what in this week's Parsha, we were talking about laziness or desire for pleasure, relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
Yaakov, after his encounter with Esav, and he figures, all right, I've gotten past that. He wants to, dwell in Sukkot or whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then everything starts going down.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, at last, I want to relax,
mm-hmm.
you know, start my family. I got away from Lavan, I got away from Esav. Now I can just sit back and relax, and that's not what happened.
Okay. Yeah. All right, that's a good Parsha connection. Let me present the issue one more time from this angle. If you have somebody who is, let's say, chemically dependent, is there a tried and tested approach for him to be cured of his dependency?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there is. Okay, we have, you know, scientifically developed and experienced, you know, centers and programs that will truly cure him and rid him of his problem. And if you say to somebody, if you explain it, and it makes a lot of sense, one could be truly convinced. of the efficacy of such a program. But let's say you have an individual who is in that situation, and what's the biggest challenge that he has?
Admitting
that he has a problem.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't admit that he has a problem, there's nothing we can do for him. If he admits that he has a problem and he shows up to the meeting or to the clinic or to the institute, he is on the path to recovery and he will find success. It's not going to be easy, but he can be on the path. But getting him to admit that he has a problem is a big challenge. We are, and I don't want to over dramatize, but it's true. We are like that person. We live in a world which, again, everything that we're learning about here is based on something that we don't readily see. And there has to be a certain amount of reaching and striving for something that we don't have yet in order to propel us onto that path. And until we admit that there is something more, and I don't mean just something, you know, listen, we all like entertainment. We really do. And some people are entertained by hearing a lecture. Just like they're moved by a nice concert, they'll be moved by a nice lecture. But the path of the just is not about going to a lecture. I mean, it's not about entertainment. It is saying that human beings have a problem. The problem is that we are not fully developed in our potential. We are not as close to God as we can be. We have not realized the identity of our souls. We see ourselves as less than we are. And that's a question of, do we admit we have a problem? It's not a bad problem, but do we admit that we should be striving to grow? If we do admit to that, and if we want that, there is a path. And the path makes a lot of sense, and these are the steps. And it's great. If we study Torah, we will come to the next step of Zahirus and Tzrizus and on, and we will accomplish our mission. But we may not admit to that. And the question I'm pondering is, how do we get ourselves to admit that we want to grow? There's a statement in the Sefer that says, once a person has that inner drive, that inner spark, it's easy for him to push himself forward. Let me read to you from there. Page 44. The person whose soul is aroused to the service of his Creator will surely not be lax in the performance of his mitzvos. Rather, his movement will be as rapid as fire, for he will neither rest nor be silent until the matter is brought to completion. If a person is spiritually aroused, you'll see him running full steam ahead. You see this a lot with young people. Young people, whether they are new at this, whether they were raised in a Torah framework or not, once they become aware of the Spirit, they start to sense this beyondness, this transcendental nature of our existence, the existence of a God, the existence of our souls, then they will be driven, like somebody who might be driven to make a lot of money. Okay? It's possible to have that stirring of the soul. And if you have that, Zerizus is a natural. But which comes first, the chicken or the egg? What if I don't have it? So there's an approach here that Rabbi Luzzatto says, which is actually a very, very important secret to the students of Torah and of Musar. If you probe further, you will see that just as alacrity is influenced by the arousal from within, this arousal itself is influenced by alacrity. Let me repeat that. Just as alacrity is influenced by inner arousal is influenced by alacrity.
But is that defined as external? Is alacrity then
Yes.
defined as external forces?
Yes. This is what it means. If one is enthusiastic in his performance of a mitzvah, he will find that when he quickens his external movement, he will thereby cause his inner fervor to be aroused, and his yearning and desire will progressively intensify. That means, if a person finds himself spiritually aroused, he is going to run to do a mitzvah. He's going to run to do a mitzvah. If he's not aroused to run to do the mitzvah, so then he could do the mitzvah without the arousal. And if he does that mitzvah, he will be aroused. It works either direction. Are you aroused? Do the mitzvah. You do the mitzvah, you'll become aroused. So what I'm suggesting is the following. We're dealing with our human problem, lethargy, fear. Not being able to break out of our current reality. Zerizus says, break out of our current reality. Go further. How do I do that? That's what our class is about. Approach number one. Do you feel spiritually aroused? Then go do the mitzvah. Do that thing that you didn't do. Do that thing which you haven't done yet. Take on a new challenge. But if you say to yourself, I don't feel that arousal. I don't feel like doing something that I haven't been doing. Because I don't do that. So I don't have the arousal. So I'm just happy where I am. I'm happy with my comfortable current situation. Which I think most of us are. I don't have the inner arousal to do more. All right? Would you like to do more? I don't know if I would like to do more. I'm happy where I am. Well, would you like to do more? Would you like to want to do more? I don't know. That's a hard question. I'm not sure if I want to do more.
Wouldn't it be easier if you were more specific?
Rabbi Ilan Feldman gave a great analogy. He said once it was Tisha B'Av, and he was sitting on the floor as is customary. And it says in the books that a person should cry on Tisha B'Av because we lost our temple and we didn't get it back yet, and we're distant from God. And he was sitting on the floor, and he said, how come I'm not crying? apparently I'm not missing it so much. He was starting to feel bad that he wasn't crying. And he started to cry because he realized how lacking he was that he wasn't crying. And that's kind of what I'm saying. A natural Jewish, healthy, awake, soulful state is to run to do more, to run to do mitzvahs, not running instinctively, but running to connect with God by following the Torah. If a person's not doing that, he may lack that spiritual inner arousal. If he does lack that spiritual arousal, there's a way to help himself. And that way is to do it in the reverse. Do the mitzvah, and you will find that you are spiritually aroused. Be specific. You can take any mitzvah that you want. But something that you're not doing, again, if you're just doing that which you're comfortable with, you're not necessarily growing. If you feel like growing, I'm almost sure that you will find that mitzvah to do. But if you don't feel like growing, but you would like to feel like growing, then we have a suggestion. And that suggestion is, do the mitzvah without the internal arousal, and by doing it, you will find that internal arousal, and then you have started the ball rolling, and one thing will lead to the next. Now, what if I don't want to grow? What if I don't want to grow? I want to stay where I am. Now what? I got a problem. So here is all I can say, and this is where we learn from the Parsha. Yaakov met the man. Yaakov met the man. Vayivaser Yaakov levado vayeyavek ish imo ad alos hashachar. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the break of dawn. When he perceived that he could not overcome him, when the man saw that he could not overcome Yaakov, he struck the socket of his hip, so Jacob's hip pocket was dislocated as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for dawn has broken." And a God told Yaakov, "No longer will it be said that your name is Yaakov, but Yisrael, for you have striven with the divine and with man and have overcome." We don't see in the story that Yaakov won the match. We don't see that he pinned the man. All we see is that he strove with him until the break of dawn, until the man said to him, "Stop, the match is over." And God said to Yaakov, "You won." What does this mean? What is this match all about? Well, sages tell us that this man was the angel of Esav. This is well known. And to me, that says, this is the Esav that we are familiar with, the Esav that we met, who says, "Why do I need a birthright? I'm tired, I'm hungry, I just need to take care of my current situation." This is that part of us that says, "I'm happy where I am. Let me just eat in peace and remain in my comfort zone." This is the Esav that Yaakov struggled with. You see, Yaakov is about transcending, but he struggles with his Esavness. That's who we are. We have a soul. Our soul is unlimited. We have a connection with God that lifts us above all obstacles, and yet inside of us is this Esav mentality that says, I'm comfortable where I am. Why do I need a birthright? Why do I need to push myself into unknown territory? And that's what Yaakov was struggling with the whole night. And at the end of the day, the bell rang, and the referee said, Yaakov wins. Why did Yaakov win? Why didn't the man win? Why didn't they call it a tie? So here's where I gain a little bit of insight and perhaps a little bit of encouragement to say that if you are even struggling, you are winning. If you even say to yourself, I don't know if I want to push myself. I don't know if I'm willing to take that step and do that mitzvah with the intent of arousing myself spiritually to go further. I don't even know if I want. But I sure think about it a lot. If you're thinking about it, and you're wrestling with it, and you're struggling with the angel, you're winning. You're winning. Just don't stop struggling, and you will win. So to sum it all up, we are in, hopefully, are engaged in a struggle. The worst case scenario is that we're not struggling. Not only do we not want to grow, but we don't even want to grow, and we don't even think about wanting to grow. We're just sure that we're happy where we are. I don't know if a Jew can actually be there, because we say that there's a pintle of yid, there's a spark of that soul that is a burst inside of us, but it can be very dim. I forgot what I was saying. Anyway, if we, hopefully we are in the struggle. If we are in the struggle, so then, once again, the ideal scenario is, we have already jumped on the path. We said, I have a problem. Get me to my meeting. Get me to my clinic. Tell me what to do. I'm doing it. I have a long way to go, but I'm on the program. Okay? If we're on the program, we've got it right here. We're studying Torah regularly. We are moving forward. Baruch Hashem. I would say, second best, we're aroused. We haven't joined the program yet, but we're aroused, we're asking questions, we're speaking to others, we're trying to find out what other people are doing for their problem. We might have a problem, and we might be joining a program too. That will lead us to our next mitzvah. That will lead us to our next step of growth. Baruch Hashem. If we don't have that arousal yet, but we definitely would like to have that arousal, we just don't know where to get it. So we have an answer for you too. The answer is, generate the arousal by doing the mitzvah. Just pick a mitzvah. Pick a mitzvah that you're not doing and do it, and you will be transformed. And then the next step will be close and coming. I sat with a man 2 weeks ago. He's been reading on his own. He read about tzitzis. It's something that you wear under your garment. And he had a question about it. His question was, I work in a part of town which is not exactly you know, the Jewish ghetto. And I see a lot of the rabbis and a lot of the people wear their strings out of their trousers. Do I have to do that if I wear tzitzis? Because I don't think I could do that up there where I work. And I said to him, no, you don't have to. You can wear them in tucked in. Okay, he liked that. The next time I met with the man, I showed up with a pair of tzitzis. He was like a little kid. He put them on. He was like a little kid. He's in his 50s. He put them on. He went home. He sent me an email. Oh my goodness, was he on fire. This is the arousal that comes by doing a mitzvah. I'm telling you. Try it. And if you're not sure if you want to be aroused, just keep struggling. Just keep struggling. If you're struggling, you're winning. Shabbos.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.